Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. Today we continue with our series, Parables of the Kingdom, and this is part 4, Small Size, Big Impact. Today we continue to explore a series of parables that Jesus taught about the Kingdom of God. We're doing this because we want to be good citizens of the Kingdom of God, and we want to be good subjects of the King, King Jesus. Today we will look at two similar parables that Jesus taught. The first is the parable of a mustard seed found in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. I'll read all texts from the New Living Translation. Here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. The second parable is found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Both of these parables present us with something small, something so small that we may think it is insignificant, a tiny mustard seed, a small amount of yeast. In both cases, these small things end up having a great impact. The tiny seed grows into a tree, the small amount of yeast causes a large batch of dough to rise. Now, if we didn't know the ways of nature, we wouldn't expect a small seed to become a big tree. If we didn't know the ways of baking, we wouldn't expect a tiny bit of yeast to be able to cause a large batch of dough to rise. And in the same way, if we don't know the ways of the kingdom of heaven, we won't expect small things to have a big impact. Yet they do. For me, the best example of this principle of the kingdom of God must surely be the way that the church grew and spread throughout the Roman Empire. In the beginning, Jesus commissioned a small group of disciples to reach the whole world. They must have felt very small, and the world must have felt very big. Yet, the church grew dramatically in Jerusalem and then quickly became an international movement. Now, to many people, Jesus' strategy of building a small team to reach the whole world does not seem logical or reasonable. But this is how the kingdom of God operates. History records for us that the small seed of those group of disciples became a large tree. The small batch of yeast did spread through the whole batch. The small group of disciples impacted the world. Let's read a little bit of history. Just take a quick tour, and we're going to jump through the book of Acts to get some early church history. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 41 record explosive growth in just one day. Verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were small enough to all meet in one place. Verse 41, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Wow, imagine that baptism service, eh? Acts chapter 2 in verse 47 records daily growth in the city. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Each day the Lord added. Acts chapter 8 verses 1 and 4 to 5 record regional growth as a result of persecution. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Then in Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 3, we find international growth beginning through apostolic ministry. One day, as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." After more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. And that was the beginning of the apostolic journeys. Now, if we want to know what happened after the book of Acts, we have to read other historical writings. And history tells us that after about 250 years, half the Roman Empire believed in Jesus. And the emperor himself was converted to Christianity. Friends, this is the way of the kingdom of God. What is small and seemingly insignificant can grow into something large and very significant. What seems too small or insufficient is able to affect more than we could imagine. The church in Thessalonica is another wonderful example of this kingdom principle. We read about this in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. "So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece, throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God." Here we read about the impact that a small persecuted church had. They impacted their nation and beyond. I find this really encouraging when I think about relatively small congregations like ours. The principle of the kingdom tells me that a small church like ours can impact far more than we think, far more than just our community. We can impact our city, our nation, and beyond. We may think of ourselves as small, but this does not mean that our impact has to be small. We can have a big impact. Friends, let's grasp this kingdom principle and let's trust God to use us to do more. So that's the principle. We may seem small. We may seem insignificant or inadequate. But God can do big things with us in spite of our small size. Now let's get practical. What should we do in order to have a great impact so that we can grow like a tree and spread like that yeast? Let's go back to the beginning of the church's history and learn from what they did. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So here we read that Jesus entrusted his mission to a small group of disciples. And we read there that some of them were still dealing with some personal doubts. I don't know if this sounds like a dream team to you. 11 disciples, one's fallen away, and some of them are doubting. But Jesus called these disciples and he commanded them to go and make disciples. The whole world. But he didn't give them the task of working out how to do this. He gave them a clear strategy. They would spread the good news of Jesus throughout the world by making disciple makers. Disciples who would make disciples. Here's a strategy in 2 points. Number one, go and make disciples of all the nations. That's verse 19. And secondly, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. That's verse 20. Now we need to understand and we need to obey both of these commands. Firstly, we are to make disciples. A disciple is more than a convert. A disciple is a committed follower of Jesus. They recognize that Jesus is Lord of all, and they have committed to obey him as their Lord. Secondly, we are to teach these disciples to obey all of Jesus' commands. These commands include the command to make disciples. We are to teach these disciples to make disciples. In short, Jesus commands us to make disciples who will make disciples. Now, this strategy is absolute genius because it results in exponential growth. The church grows faster and faster and faster. Now, I know that I'm not here to teach maths, but I think it's important that I explain the difference between linear growth and exponential growth, because not of all of us were big fans of mathematics. Linear growth is when something keeps increasing at the same rate. For example, if I save 100 rand every month I will have 100 rand more saved. After 10 months, I will have 10 times 100 rand, which would be 1,000 rand. Exponential growth is not like linear growth. It's where the growth, something keeps growing faster and faster and faster. Viruses spread like this. That's how COVID-19 became a global pandemic. It kept growing faster and faster and faster until the whole world had infections. Now, Jesus' strategy of making disciple makers results in exponential growth. This is why the church grew faster and faster and faster. And next thing they knew, half the Roman Empire was following Jesus. Let's for a moment take just a simple example. It may be a little bit naive, but just to imagine how this works. Imagine for a moment that you make 5 disciple makers in the next 5 years. Your impact on the world is 5 new disciple makers. Now imagine that each of these 5 disciple makers also make 5 disciple makers, because you taught them to do this. Your impact on the world is now actually 5 times 5, which is 25. Now imagine that each of those 25 disciple makers also make 5 disciple makers, because they were in turn taught to do this. Your impact on the world is now 25 times 5, 125. That's a small church. Now imagine that each of those 125 disciple makers also make 5 disciple makers, because they were taught to do this. Your impact on the world is now 125 times 5, 625, a medium-sized or biggest church. And if those 625 disciple makers make 5 disciples each, Your legacy is 625 times 5 equals 3,125. And those 3,125 disciple makers could make 15,625 disciple makers. This is the legacy that comes from making disciple makers. Do you see how the growth gets faster and faster? That curve gets steeper and steeper. This is exponential growth. 5 become 25, become 125, become 625, become 3,125, become 15,625. Now, no, realistically, that exact maths is unlikely to happen. But doesn't that give you an idea of how disciple making, or making disciple makers, results in dramatic, explosive growth? Just you could have this kind of impact if you would make disciple makers. This is how the early church reached the whole world so quickly. This is how a small amount of yeast worked its way through the whole dough. Friends, if you have committed to making disciples of Jesus, well done. Well done. That is fantastic. Now, imagine this. Imagine if you teach these disciples to make disciples. Once you've done that, the disciple-making team has grown. Instead of you as one disciple maker, there are now 6. You have 5 more disciple makers on the team. And as they make disciple makers, the disciple making team grows even more, and it grows bigger and faster and more and more and more impactful. This is the genius of the kingdom of God. Little me, little you, can have a great impact. And a growing impact. We can leave this legacy when we are long gone. This can continue. So friends, let's not think small. Let's think big impact. Let me summarize in closing. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast teach a vitally important principle of the kingdom of God. Something small can become something big and have a significant impact. This principle is powerfully demonstrated by Jesus' strategy of disciple making. As disciples make disciples who make disciples, the church grows exponentially. As the number of disciple makers keeps on growing, the church grows faster and faster and faster. Just one disciple maker can actually start a disciple making movement that grows exponentially. So I close with this question. Do you want to make a significant impact on the world? Then make disciples of Jesus and teach them to do the same.